This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Welcome to the Sheridan Report, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. To find out more about MyBookie.ag, you can go to thegruelytruth.com, click on the MyBookie.ag banner at the top of the page. It'll take you to the site, and by going through us, you'll get up to a $1,000 cash back bonus on your first deposit. I am your co-host for the Sheridan Report, Mike Goodpasser. Right now, I'd like to welcome in the man himself from the Sheridan Report, Bobby. And of course, his last name is Sheridan. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, I'm doing great. And, you know, Mike, I just enjoyed your Surviving Events show so much. I had never heard Gary Birdie speak, and I know he's been a previous guest on your show before I really was listening much to The Grueling Truth. And you told me privately that he was outstanding, and he came through, and I just loved his positivity and did not know his story. And it was really, really interesting to hear him.
Yeah, and for anybody that doesn't know, Gary Birdie played for the Cincinnati Bengals, played on the first Super Bowl team for Forrest Gregg, and today he joined us to talk about Forrest Gregg, but also to talk about his recent kidney transplant that he got. And, I mean, from cancer to then the kidney transplant, was told he was going to die, and Gary is still alive and kicking, got a new kidney, and he's a great interview, and you can find that on thegruelingtruth.com also. If you're listening through the Spotify or anything you're listening through, just go back one show and you'll find the Survive in Advance for today. So what do you got tonight NBA-wise, Bobby?
All right, Mike. Well, we'll start with the NBA. You asked for it, so we'll go there. You know, there's two series that are let's backdrop for a second here. The NBA is really down to one series that, you know, could go either way, and that is the series that will continue tomorrow with the Spurs and the Nuggets, and it goes back to Denver tomorrow. The series is all tied at two, and that's kind of a coin flip. I mean, the Nuggets have the edge, you know, with the two games possibly at home of the three, but tonight's game will be huge, and the Spurs have already won at Denver, so tomorrow night's game. But we got the other series that are all kind of wrapping up. They're either going to be sweeps or five-game deals. And it's been 12 years since the NBA playoffs have first round has gone through and there hasn't been an upset. 12 years. And it's looking like, unless the Spurs beat the Nuggets, that'll break this year with all the top seeds winning. So we'll see what happens. That takes us to tonight. And that's all that really matters is tonight. And the last game is the Rockets and the Jazz, and we've been on this series pretty strong. We've touted the Rockets' ability to win the Western Conference, and they took care of the Jazz in Game 3 on the road, and we said that the other night, Mike, and we said it because they had won twice at Utah last year, and we thought that, okay, they're going to go there and be ready to play and win and get going against the Warriors, and even with a game that Harden, you know, did not do his typical James Harden stuff, they're just so good and can do so many other things, especially defensively, where they were able to win that game. But we're going to be off this game tonight because they've taken the line from getting 2.5 points in that game three, and now they're giving 3 points. So there's a 5.5 point difference.
3.5 on my bookie.
So a 6 point difference. And so it really takes us from betting on the team that we think will wrap up the series. Utah could get one tonight. Any team at home that gets hot with a three ball or things can take a game. I mean, they're not going to win this series, of course, but we're going to lay off that. But it does put us on a series where we haven't even talked one thing about. And that's the game tonight. I think Detroit has a shot in this game. You know, when I say has a shot, probably not to win, but definitely has a shot to cover the 13. And here's why. If you're Milwaukee and you're the number one seed, and they really are the number one seed, them and Toronto are the best two teams that I've seen in the East, with Philadelphia being kind of a wild card. Boston still has a lot to prove. But the Bucks, when you go into game three up 2-0 on two blowouts and you're a championship team, you're not letting down in game three. Not when you're going on the road, and not when Detroit's picking up their best player, Blake Griffin, returned to action during game three and gave them solid minutes. He was only a minus three on the plus minus. So when he was on the court, the Pistons were only outscored by 3 points. And Detroit did get some fortune in game three with Antetokounmpo with some foul trouble. But the bottom line is the Bucks' motivation was going to be there for game three. Game four, I'm not so sure. They were able to still win by 16, even with those factors. And it's going to be a sweep. And I think we got two ways we can cover this with the Pistons. You can do it the Clippers way from yesterday, where they really stayed within 13 points the whole way with Golden State, the entire way, and would have been very unlucky not to cover. Or you can do it the way, like, let's say the Bucks are up by 16 with 4 minutes left and win the game by 8. You know, Detroit has won two of the first three games, the fourth quarters. So they can win the fourth quarter by 8 tonight and only lose by 8. That could happen. So let's take a shot with the Pistons plus 13 tonight over the Bucks.
All right, Bobby, you want to go to Major League Baseball next?
Well, let's hit hockey, Mike. Do you mind talking a little bit about hockey tonight and kind of how your feelings are? There's two games tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind talking about the hockey. Where do you want to start off? Because Washington, Carolina isn't interesting to me. On my bookie, it's even. I think the Caps dominated the Hurricanes in Game 5. The Hurricanes still have some injury issues, I believe. So when I look at this, Carolina's home ice advantage is a huge deal here. But I think Washington is the better team, and I think the Capitals may end this tonight.
Well, you know, they just came off of a big win that you were all over in Game 5, and now here Game 6. And you talked about the injuries, and that line open Carolina was like minus 125 something, and I've seen it get down as low as, like you said, around even. So I think the Capitals are getting the money.
Yeah, now. Can they get the win?
Sure looks that way. Got to get the win. That's
yeah.
Right. You got to get the win.
Yeah, and I think the home ice advantage is huge here because the goalie for the Canes has played much better at home than he has on the road. Defensively, I think they performed much better also. So when you look at that, but in the end, I think the Capitals are just a better team. They got Braden Holtby in goal. I think they're going to take this game tonight, which then brings us to the next game, which is the Nashville Predators against the Dallas Stars. And when I look at this, I mean, I think this has been a series kind of like what I thought it would be, which is I think the Predators have some problems in goal. And when you look at that, you know, that's usually going to end up biting your ass. That's like a baseball team going into a 7-game series, and they don't have much pitching. And when you look at this, yeah. Dallas is at home. They have the advantage with the goalie. I think Dallas finishes off the upset and wins this series tonight.
I like that pick, Mike. And yeah, it's an upset with 4-1. But Dallas is a pretty good favorite in this game, minus 135, something like that. Is that what you're showing?
Minus 140, actually. I just think that the better value may be with Nashville, but I think Dallas is going to win the game tonight.
All right, well, let's do something like this, Mike. Let's take your two hockey picks, and let's hook it up with my Pistons pick and run a parlay, and that thing pays about 5.5 to 1.
Yeah, that's not a bad payoff.
So let's do something like that. Let's do the Pistons at home plus the 13, and we'll take the two hockeys that you just gave out, which was the home team Stars and then the road team Capitals, right? Let's see if we can score that one for the Grueling Truth listeners.
All right. What do we got baseball-wise tonight?
All right, well, let's go to baseball. That's where I'm most excited about for tonight's action. And we got three plays. I added a play to the two plays that were on my report overnight. And the two plays on my report overnight, I'll finish with, and those are both 7 o'clock. late night starts, 10 o'clock on the East. For those of you who like to watch that late night West Coast baseball, you got two good ones to watch tonight. And then I added a game that we were waiting a line on, and that was the game I'm going to talk about now, 4 o'clock start, 7 Eastern. And that's the Kansas City Royals going to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay come off a very interesting series with Boston. Boston has started the year with not much pitching, like you just talked about. You take the world chance, and you give them one of the worst starting and relieving ERAs in the first 3 weeks of the year, and that's what you get. You get a, you know, an 8-12 record or whatever they were. But the champs are still the champs, and they went on the road to Tampa Bay, and they kind of showed that they still got some life, and they took that series over Tampa. And Tampa Bay now, you know, stays home in Kansas City, who just came off of playing New York and playing very solidly against New York, now comes and sends their best pitcher at Tampa Bay. And I really like the price here. They're getting $1.47 with Brad Keller, who was a Rookie of the Year candidate. We've talked about him. He's got a very good breaking ball, good fastball, good competitor. He's going to give them a shot tonight. That's kind of a weird ballpark, and I don't really like, you know, really playing games that are taking place in that ballpark. But I like the price here. I think Kansas City, sneaky offense. You know, they've got a couple guys swinging the bats pretty well for them, and I think they can definitely, when we talk about each game being two games, well, meaning the starting pitching matchup and then the bullpen matchup, and I definitely feel like Kansas City at +147 has a big edge the first 5-6 innings of this game. So let's see if we can build a lead in this first 5-6 innings, and if we can hold it. So I like Kansas City as my first play, and that was a late add. And then, Mike, we go to what'll be the bread and butter of the night. It'll be a parlay that we're going to run between these two teams, and we're going to bet them both straight. And these are the two games I like the most on the betting card today for straight bets, and that is first the Angels and then the Texas Rangers. And Angels over the Yankees at 7:07. And, you know, the Yankees are struggling with an offense that doesn't resemble the Bronx Bombers. They just had a ton of injuries and a ton of problems. And if you look at their lineup, it's nothing like what it was supposed to look like. So we know that there's a dip there in offensively. But if you look at the pitching, too, they've really struggled. They're sending a guy in the mound tonight that they re-signed over the offseason. He came to them last year in the late season for a push, a left-hander named J.A. Happ. And he went 7-0, but this is not the J.A. Happ that went 7-0. He's 0-2 with an over 6 ERA, not performing well. And they're going to travel all the way across the coast from New York to Los Angeles for this game tonight to Anaheim, California. And the Angels, their lineup, you know, in the middle with Trout and Simmons and Pujols, that's going to look a lot more Bomber-like than the Yankees lineup. And I definitely think the Angels, you know, have a really good opportunity in this game. And Matt Harvey has not been a pitcher that you really want to be backing. The stuff seems like it's there, just not the results. But I'm going to give them a shot tonight. The Angels are 5-2 outside of the division, and they're 5-12 within the division, something along those lines. And although I think Brad Ausmus is a good coach and going to be wind up being, I think, a good hire for them. I think he fits their temperament. I don't know. You know, that's the first spring training he ran this year. And Mike Socha was always known for running a really, really tight spring training from his days with the Dodgers. And he brought that to Anaheim. And I think the Angels did not come out of the gate quite ready to go, especially within the division. And that's why you see that record. But I think tonight they can get that win at home.
All right, Bobby.
And, let's go to the last.
Give us more game. Bobby. Come on.
I will. You know, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get going, but I think the fans need to know and kind of get an understanding. Well, okay, now the last game, this is my top play. This kind of combines a nice price with a very solid take, and that's the Texas, and that's what we're looking for when we're betting baseball, is the value and solid, getting the best dogs on the card. So this is the best one. This is the Texas Rangers tonight, and they're throwing a guy named Mike Minor, who is fantastic. This is a guy before the season, you know, when you're looking at a team like Texas, who is probably going to be a team selling at the break, even though they're 12-8 right now. They're gotten off to a really good start. They've totally outplayed Oakland in the start of the season. Texas is 12-8 and playing well in a lot of facets. but they're a team that's probably going to be selling, and Mike Miner is a guy that's already getting scouted by some of the teams that are going to be in the hunt for the World Series that are going to need to add a great starting pitcher, and this will be one of the guys that you'll be hearing about, Mike Miner, throwing the ball extremely well. He comes off of a complete game effort over the Angels. He's take away his first outing. He's been just unbelievable with his next three, and he's going to give Texas a quality start tonight. And you look at Oakland, you know, they're really struggling swinging the bats. They just got swept by Toronto. They lost, they split a series, a two-game series with Houston. They were lucky to win the game that they won. They're not scoring runs. They're not hitting the long ball. They're not getting the great starting pitching. They're not able to really get to the back end of their bullpen, which is their strength. So they throw Trinan yesterday in a loss, you know, down 5-3 in the last inning. They throw him to keep it there. And so they're not getting save opportunities for him. And they might not tonight because the pitching matchup tonight completely favors Texas. Oakland's calling up a guy named Chris Bassett, who had Tommy John surgery in 2016 and is fully healthy now, but did not break camp in the starting rotation. And they're bringing him up due to an injury to their starter tonight, who's on the DL. So, you know, I like Texas in this spot. And this is a quality play tonight at plus 132.
All right, Bobby, you want to go ahead and go to on this day?
Well, before we do, Mike, let me give you my three-team parlay. We won't talk as much about every game, but let me just give you the bet because this bet will
I can't believe I forgot the three-team parlay. That's my favorite part of the show.
You know, it's not my favorite because it's lost money so far. The return on investment is a negative.
Well, not mine either, but it's my favorite one to bet. So it makes it more exciting.
Very much. So let's get three favorites that we're going to hook together because this thing will be a positive return on investment before the year is out. Believe me on that. And the play I got tonight is I got the three favorites I think you're going to hook up tonight. And then mix and match, we've talked about that, will be the Pirates, the Mets, and the Cardinals, and those all start in the 4 o'clock hour. Pirates, Mets, and Cardinals, Mike. That's it. I won't go into too much detail on those. Just you got them.
All right. On this day?
On this day, very good. You know, we have some boxing ones today, Mike. And on this day, the one I want to hit is there's two or three we could choose from, but 1994 kind of got my interest the most. Michael Moore beats Evander Holyfield in 12 rounds for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, and Michael Moore was a guy who was a great light heavyweight. I think he knocked out everybody who fought at light heavyweight, moved up to heavyweight, had a great fight with Burt Cooper. But after defeating Riddick Bowe in a closely contested rematch, and I think that was in 93, of course, once again, Evander Holyfield was the champion. And he fought Moore, and Moore beat him by a majority decision. And I think the thing that swung the fight was in the second round, Holyfield knocked Moore down. And Judge Jerry Ross still scored the round even at 10-10 instead of 10-9. If he'd have scored the round that he knocked him down in 10-9 for Holyfield, Holyfield would have actually had a majority draw, which means he would have kept his title. But the thing that stood out to me was this, is Holyfield was hospitalized after the fight for dehydration and a rotator cuff injury. While they were at the hospital, they found a kidney bruise. And that was basically his big downfall there. And it was soon found, he was soon found to have a heart problem because his lungs filled due to his heart not being able to pump the fluids out. As a result, he announced his retirement like a week later, and that retirement only lasted for a year, and he came right back. And this kind of brings us to the steroids issue we talked about, I think it was on Saturday's show, and of course, me and Jeremiah did a show on it Friday night about, you know, steroids and Tiger Woods, who I think there's no doubt has done steroids in the past and probably contributed to the back problems. Usain Bolt and his problems. Of course, Peyton Manning and the HGH sent to his wife. But Holyfield is a guy who, when he became a heavyweight, I think it's obvious, if you look at pictures of him from 1988 compared to 1994, that, you know, he was on something. And I think that very well could have contributed to the heart problem. Now, he said that he went to Benny Hinn, who was a faith healing doctor in Atlanta. He's also a scam artist because there's really no faith healers. But Benny Hinn put his hands on him and supposedly cured Evander Holyfield. I think what Evander did is he stopped taking no steroids and took something else that didn't affect his kidneys and his heart. And, you know, within 2 years after that, he's knocking out Mike Tyson to be the heavyweight champion again. Moore actually went on from here to lose his title to George Foreman. He had a shot to fight Lennox Lewis. He figured he would take more money to fight Foreman, and Foreman was a safer bet. Foreman knocked him out in the 10th round with one shot. And then actually Holyfield and Moore would fight again in a rematch, I think November of 97. I think it was after the first Holyfield-Tyson fight. It might have been the second. But they fought a rematch, and basically Michael Moore had won the vacant IBF heavyweight title after defeating Axel Schultz in Germany. And Axel Schultz was a guy who had fought George Foreman for the Lineal Championship a year before that. And most people thought Schultz won, but you're not getting a decision being an unknown German coming to the United States to fight big George Foreman. And Holyfield the second time would end up knocking Moore down like five times, stopped him there. But yeah, the thing that was huge here, the big story here is the faith healer, Benny Hinn, quote unquote, healing Evander Holyfield's heart problems. So Evander went on to, you know, claim that God had healed him and that Benny Hinn had healed him. But the other thing is this, I love Evander Holyfield, but you're not going to find a much bigger hypocrite. Since this was a guy that always came out to Christian music, always talked about God, but still had 9 kids from 9 different women.
Well, yeah, I mean, I liked him too, Mike, but, you know, you're not going to escape those type of character things. And
you can't escape 9 kids from 9 different women, Bobby. Could you imagine that? I got 3 kids by that. 1 woman. That's expensive enough. You throw in 9 by 9, and then all the headaches 9 women can bring. And plus, he's making so much money, you know he was paying out the ass for every one of those kids. Condoms are not that expensive.
No, they're not. But, you know, he needed the steroids to build himself up to be a heavyweight because he was not that big of a man.
I don't know that he needed him. I mean, I think he was like 6'2", 190-pound cruiserweight, and he probably could have pulled this off as a 6'2", 205-pound heavyweight or two, because he was a great fighter. But
yeah,
the steroids, there's no doubt. I mean, the Haney guy, the people he was hanging out with, there's no doubt that he was using steroids. But once again, people will turn their heads the other way when it is somebody like Holyfield that everybody likes, or somebody like Tiger Woods or Peyton Manning. We don't want to see that in them. You know, the perfect example in boxing is Canelo Alvarez. He cheated last year. He got caught. They suspended him for 6 months and let him come back and fight. Jarrell Miller is a big, fat, sloppy dude who was supposed to fight Anthony Joshua for the title. It will probably take him a couple years to get back to where he was. But when you watch guys like Canelo Alvarez just get a slap on the wrist to continue, or Tiger Woods, a guy who they just ignored his associations in the sight of his body from a couple years from 2004 to 2008, which caused a back injury. But when you ignore that and let those people get away with it, everybody else sees it and says, well, hell, I got to do this to compete with them. Nothing really bad happened to them. But if you're the wrong person and this happens to you and you're not the golden child of the NFL or the PGA Tour, you get hammered on it.
Or unless you can take the real good stuff and get the exact way to take it and the things you take to make sure it gets masked, you can get popped for that. You know?
Well, if they would actually... See, that's the problem here. Because, like in the boxing one, Jarrell Miller, VADA does the testing most of the time for this. And VADA actually, when they contract to be the steroid tester for a certain fight, a lot of times the promoters will say you can only test for these certain steroids. So if you're only testing for these certain steroids and Jarrell Miller's taking them and Anthony Joshua's not, yeah, it really makes sense when you see that Anthony Joshua's promoting team with Eddie Hearn are the ones that are setting up exactly what you're tested for. So they're not going to have their guy tested for what they know he's taking. And in the end, that's the same thing that happens here. I mean, with boxers, you know when you're going to be tested. So Evander Holyfield, cycle off of it a few months before the fight. Because in the end, what people don't realize is when you take this stuff, it stays, a lot of this stuff anymore stays in your body for the rest of your life. So if Tiger Woods had an advantage then, he still does now because he's got something in him somebody else doesn't. And when you look at the amount of PGA Tour pros who in 2010, you know, thought that he was taking it, it leaves a lot to be, you know, desired when you're trying to make this seem like a great sports moment. Because the same people that will talk about Tiger Woods' great sports moment will then immediately say Barry Bonds doesn't belong in a Hall of Fame or Roger Clemens doesn't belong in a Hall of Fame. But you know what? People don't like Bonds and Clemens. People like Tiger Woods.
Right, Mike, and that's the hypocrisy of the whole thing.
Yeah. So, and this is the thing. I keep typing up, you know, like Tiger Woods PED use and stuff, and there's no recent articles, and there's definitely no articles written in the last 2 weeks about it.
No, there won't be.
No.
You know, he's got all those guys in his pocket.
Yeah.
They all love him. You know, they all like him. They're not going to badmouth him. But, it, you know, it's there. No doubt about it. It's there. And some guy, you know, look at Peyton Manning. Nobody likes Peyton Manning more than me, and I'm sure you and
I hate Peyton Manning, but go ahead. I think Peyton Manning is one of the biggest scumbags that ever lived. I mean, if you go back and you look up the amount of money he paid the Tennessee trainer after he sat his balls on her face, I mean, he's not a good dude. And the HGH thing with Peyton Manning, there's no doubt it happened. There was no reason why his wife would have boxes of HGH sent to him. And this is the thing. I'd have no problem if he came out afterwards and said, yeah, I did it. He said, I wanted to play again. I wanted to be healthy. And that's what he was doing with that. I've got no problem with that. But when everybody acts like, you know, he's a saint, he's just he's not a saint. Tom Brady's a saint. Tom Brady wins championships. And Tom Brady has never been busted for HGH. Now, maybe he's done it before, but at least he wasn't stupid enough to have it sent to his own freaking house.
I'm with you, Mike. I never thought I would, because I, you know, I just always been a Colts and a Manning guy. But you're right. I mean, you got to say what how it is, and that's I respect that more than anything else. Calling it like it is, and especially you know, and then Holyfield, did he come back off of this loss, then he became a champion after, right? I mean,
yeah, he beat Mike Tyson after that. So. I mean, what you had was a year after this happened, he came back and he beat Merciless Ray Mercer, who, if you like Merciless Ray Mercer, he was on a Ringside Boxing Show, which you can find on theruelingtruth.com. That was on last night. And, I mean, Ray Mercer was a hell of a fighter. He goes life or death with him for 10 rounds, beats Mercer. And then he fought a guy by the name of Bobby Chez, who used to be the light heavyweight and cruiserweight champion of the world. And he did not look good against Chez. And since he didn't look good against Chez, they decided, well, now Mike Tyson can fight him since Mike Tyson's probably going to beat an old washed-up Holyfield. And then Holyfield comes out, has the fight of his life, beats the hell out of Tyson, beats Moore a second time, beats the hell out of Tyson again, making Tyson bite him and quit, basically. So.
Yeah, that's amazing how his comeback was. I just remember watching it thinking, I thought he was supposed to be like dying 4 years ago, and he's still looking like incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's the magic of modern medicine.
Yes.
And if he hears this, I apologize. I have talked to him before, and I'm trying to get him on the show. But, all right. but, all righty.
It's a big week for the network. You guys have your live draft show coming up. That's Thursday, right?
Yes, Thursday night at 6:45, and it looks like tomorrow we will have draft talk on Survive in Advance. We're going to have some draft talk on Survive in Advance now through Friday. So Risley's going to have to stop watching the Young and Restless and watch some NFL draft stuff at some point so we can do the shows. And I know you're probably listening, Steve, so start doing it now.
Well, you know, he'll get ready. He loves his Colts, and The Colts always come up with some good picks. Let me tell you, their GM, the way he does a pretty damn good job, the way they got it working now, and there's no reason to go out and spend all this money, even though they got it. They can just keep having these good drafts and bringing the right people in. It's going to be a good week for the Colts, I think.
Yeah, because I think there's a couple wide receivers in the draft they could get in the first round that would fit what they do perfectly. And also, we got Inside Boxing Daily tonight, Survive in Advance tomorrow, and then tomorrow at 2, Bobby, we have a special show because we have a huge hockey game tomorrow night, little hockey night in Canada, as the Toronto Maple Leafs will travel to Boston to take on the Bruins to try to finish off the upset in that series. So I haven't really looked too close at that yet, but we'll have a take on that tomorrow for anybody that might be interested in some Maple Leaf hockey tomorrow night.
Absolutely. It's going to be huge, and look forward to that. That series, I thought they were going to win that at home. They didn't, so let's talk about how Game 7, how we think it might go tomorrow.
Yep, so you can catch us tomorrow, same time. We'll be live at 2 o'clock Eastern on thegruelingtruth.com, or you can find us live on Spreaker. You can follow us at Grueling Truth on Twitter, so whenever we go live, it'll be posted there. You can click the link and hear us that way also. Remember, you could also pick up the Grueling Truth app on Zeno Live Radio or the iTunes Store. There's actually two separate apps. Pick the one with the better banner. That's the newer one. And make sure you check it out. Like and comment anything we do on there. And we appreciate everybody for listening. Follow along. And we will be back tonight at 11 with Inside Boxing Daily. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Sheridan Report. Little Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins pick. Wednesday night, we'll have a Cincinnati Bengals draft preview show with former Cincinnati Bengal Joe Kelly and myself. And then, of course, that will all culminate into Thursday night at 6:45 Eastern, live on thegruelingtruth.com, the live NFL draft show where we'll have Matt Minnick, former college football coach and a writer for Cincinnati Jungle. We will have from the Niners Empire, Matt Andrew Scavage. We'll have from the FF Faceoff, Anthony Servino. We'll have from his bedroom, Steve Risley, and, of course, myself. And we'll have a bunch of special guests also. So make sure you check us out then. You can hear all of our shows on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find sports podcasts, you'll find The Grueling Truth. So for Bobby Sheridan, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.